May these United States flourish in pure and undefiled religion, in morality, peace, union, and liberty, as long as respect and veneration shall gather around the name of Washington. These words are taken from the eulogy on George Washington by Archbishop John Carroll. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, this morning I would like to speak to you about our country, and in particular about the man whom we refer to as the father of our country, George Washington. In the year 1776, the Revolutionary War in America was already being fought. The war began in 1775. By the following year, the Second Continental Congress saw that the war would fail unless complete independence was proclaimed as its goal. And so the members of the Continental Congress declared, "The colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states." Over and over again, the colonists had sought a compensation for their grievances. But over and over again, King George III refused the pleas of those colonists. Instead, he behaved like a tyrant. And thus, the Declaration of Independence was written and published. In it, the Continental Congress enumerated the long list of these grievances against the British Crown. This inspiring document is something with which all Americans should be familiar. There was a radical difference between the spirit of the American Revolution and that of the murderous and despotic French Revolution of 1789. It was the French Revolution which murdered King Louis XVI, America's great ally, without whom the American Revolution would most certainly have been lost. But it was during the night of July 4th, 1776, that the Declaration of Independence was printed and then proclaimed. Thus, the American colonies declared themselves independent from the tyrannical rule of England. And one modern historian estimated that the odds of success of the colonies winning against the British were about 10,000 to 1. And along with the providence of Almighty God, the key to America's success, however, was one man. And this one man was none other than George Washington, the father of our country, who would years later be referred to in an encyclical letter of Pope Leo XIII as the Great Washington. In the end, it was he was the one who defeated England. The great George Washington devoted almost his whole life to his country. He spent about 30 years in the military fighting in many battles. And then towards the end of his life, he served two terms as President of the United States. George Washington was an extraordinary patriot. And without him, there would not be the United States of America. Truly, Almighty God raised up a man like Washington to establish this country. Did not only God give freedom to those who were oppressed here in this land, but what he also did was he established a safe haven for his church when all of Europe was revolting against Catholicism and the Roman Pontiff. Catholics had a safe haven here in the United States to practice their one true faith. At a time when the monarchs of Europe were becoming anti-Catholic, God was establishing a place where his followers could safely practice the one true faith. it was no accident that he could cooperate with God's grace. In his letters and speeches, he made reference very often to Almighty God. He made reference to providence, divine providence, and he made many references to heaven. George Washington's letters tell us that what type of man he was and how he viewed man's duties to Almighty God. Countless times he asked for prayers for the success of the war. In one letter, he asked for prayers that the God of armies may incline the hearts of my American brethren to support and bestow sufficient abilities on me and to bring the present contest or battle to a speedy and happy conclusion. This is the first wish and most fervent prayer of my soul, he wrote. He wrote also of how all nations should act. In another letter, he said, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God. It is the duty of all nations to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and favor." It was no accident that this great country of ours was established to benefit the Catholic Church. And there is a short but interesting story about George Washington, which I came across in a book which Bishop Kelly recommended to me. As you may know, Washington established his home in Mount Vernon, which is in the state of Virginia, and he established it with his wife and his family. It was very common for him and his family to have people come and visit his homestead. He had many inventions, and he produced many different things. And he would like to show them around. He would like to show them also the beautiful architecture of his house and the furnishings within. And one time he had a young Catholic priest who had come to visit. And this Catholic priest was later to become the third Archbishop of Baltimore. His name was the Most Reverend Ambrose Maricall. And the story goes that as both men were walking by the master bedroom to admire the paintings found in the house, this young priest noticed hanging over the head of the bed of Washington a painting of the Blessed Virgin Mary with the Christ child. The priest who saw this was a bit surprised, but encouraged by the fact that this president and great leader, who was not a Catholic, had a painting of the Mother of God over his bed. And he commented on the picture to make this known to Washington. And this is what Washington replied to the priest. Washington said, looking at the picture, "I cannot love the Son without honoring the Mother." My dear friends, what a truly amazing man this George Washington was. No wonder that over 100 years later, the Vicar of Christ on earth, the Supreme Pontiff and successor of St. Peter, Pope Leo XIII, acknowledged this. Not only did Leo XIII praise the American Republic, but he even praised, as I mentioned, the father of our country and our first president, George Washington. He mentioned him by name in this encyclical. And he even called him the Great Washington. This Roman pontiff, Leo XIII, said many other wonderful things about our nation. He praised the growth in vocations to the priesthood and the religious life. And he declared that in no small part the prosperity of the church in America was due to the just laws of the country and the customs of the American Republic. In fact, this is what Pope Leo XIII wrote. He said, "For the church amongst you, unopposed by the constitution and government of your nation, fettered no hostile legislation, protected against violence by the common laws and the impartiality of the tribunals, it is free to live and act without hindrance." My dear friends, from the words of the Vicar of Christ, it is clear that God in his goodness and love blessed our nation, which George Washington and so many others fought and labored so hard to form. But it is sad to say that America is not the same America as when George Washington lived. Christian morality is virtually gone. And each year, it seems, America's condition grows worse. America is still responsible for the murdering of the innocent and establishing immoral laws to promote unnatural vice. Since the dawn of Christianity, the Catholic Church has always numbered these among the sins which cry to heaven for vengeance. The influence of Almighty God in the lives of Americans, for the most part, and upon their judgments, grows less and less. Men have become selfish. Their idea of freedom is to do whatever they want, no matter whose rights are violated, even the rights of God. Neither are these types true patriots, for a true patriot is one who loves his country and supports its authority and interests. And from the beginning of this country, the interests of America have always been one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. But my dear friends, when we look around, we may ask ourselves, what can we do about the state of affairs in our beloved country? Each of us might think, what can a handful of people do for a nation who has turned its back on God, its creator? What can one person do to save our once great nation? Well, we must remember Washington was one person. He was one man who made a tremendous difference. He was not even a Catholic, yet he did great things for his country. At his time, things looked very hopeless for our nation. But what did he do? He prayed and he sacrificed for America. He got down on his knees and prayed for his beloved country. And he even had a true devotion to the Mother of God. Washington had that painting of the Madonna and Child to express his devotion to the Blessed Virgin. And he is quoted to say, "I cannot love the Son without honoring the Mother." What he told that priest is what St. Louis de Montfort taught in his book, True Devotion to Mary. St. Louis taught that it is only through Mary that we can love Jesus. If then the great Washington had a devotion to the Blessed Mother of God, how much more should we then, who have been given the true faith? Let us then pray and sacrifice for our country. Let us implore the Mother of God to inspire those politicians, those men who lead our nation, that they may change their corrupt ways and their immoral ideas and be led by the self-sacrificing spirit of George Washington. Today, as I mentioned, we commemorate that moment in history when our forefathers declared independence from a tyrannical monarch. In fact, it is interesting to note that the actual date on which the Continental Congress decided to declare independence, when they voted on it, it was not on July 4th. It was on July 2nd, 1776, 2 days before. But the proper wording was finalized on the 4th of July, and this is the date written on the document. But July 2nd is significant because it is the Feast of the Visitation, a great feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And since 1846, the United States of America has been placed under the powerful protection of our Immaculate Mother. And thus, my dear friends, the United States is indeed the land of Mary Immaculate. And what this means is that the land of America is dedicated to the purest and holiest of God's creatures. Let us then pray for America. Let it return to the great country it once was. And let us ever implore the Mother of God under her title of the Immaculate Conception, by which title she was made the patroness of these United States, that she obtain God's mercy and God's blessing upon us and on our nation. God bless you and God bless our country. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.